Okay. When a yid comes to the Seder, it's very important not to try to pretend that he's worthy, that he was worthy of being taken out of Mitzrayim. Chazon Ish has a letter. This is from the Chazon Ish al Torah, which is just a collection of different things that the Chazon Ish printed elsewhere. In the first volume of the Igros Nish, in letter 208, the Chazon Ish wrote back to someone who was trying to make up a whole version of Yetzias Mitzrayim where Klal Yisrael are like so gavaldic and so worthy of being saved. And the Chazon Ish writes to him, Kasavta, I saw what you wrote, and that you wrote that She Yisrael b'Mitzrayim hayu b'madrega hayosu gedola b'torah b'mitzvos. You made Klal Yisrael out to be big tzaddikim in Mitzrayim, be'amuna u'v'chasidus, lofty levels, v'nismeches al-hod da'amru b'medrash, and you relied upon the words of Chazal, shayu nashim tzidkanios, yotzos lasada, that the Jewish women used to go out to the fields and they would convince their husbands to not give up hope. And they saw unbelievable miracles that the babies that were born were protected in the fields, as Chazal described, v'nasu l'nisim rabim, as the Medrash describes. So you thought to say that maybe, well, if there's nashim tzidkanios, so that's good. The Klal Yisrael are on a high level. V'kasavta, in the second paragraph, the vade al yidei tzidkanios elu, v'al yidei anisim elu, nasu kol Yisrael misurim l'Hashem l'mitzosav. So you imagined that because Chazal describes some miracles that took place at some righteous women that were in Mitzrayim, you imagined that Klal Yisrael themselves were transformed by that. The Klal Yisrael were really great in Mitzrayim. Torah, mitzvos, emunah, chasidus were on a lofty level. And furthermore, you quoted to me the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, where it's bolded, She'ikr shivudan shel Yisrael b'Mitzrayim hayateivav shana bavah. How many years were the Jews in Mitzrayim? How many years in total were the Jews in Mitzrayim? 210 years. Says the Medrash Shir HaShirim, how many of those years were the really bad years? The harshest of years, the most difficult years were how many? Only 86 years. So says the Chazon Ish, you wrote to me, well, if Klal Yisrael were only, you know, so bad for 86 years and suffered so much, how much could a Jew fall apart in 86 years? How bad could we have gotten in such a short period of time? How bad could a Jew get in 86 years? No, how bad can a Jew get in 86 years? What do you say? Pretty bad. Pretty bad. So the Chazon Ish writes, Kol hadvarim halalu ein behem mamish. All of these descriptions, and you're basing yourself on Chazal. Chazon Ish says you're not making this up. You're trying to find those mamari Chazal that talk about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. But at the end of the day, says the Chazon Ish, all of these words have no substance to them. Shem kulam neged divrei aboseinu. Because all of them go against the most basic understanding of how we got out of Mitzrayim. And the Chazon Ish writes, as is found in the Medrash in Shemos, lo hayu Yisrael ru'uyin li'natzal. Period. The Jewish people did not deserve to be saved. So we could scrap around trying to say, oh, Dam Mila and Dam Pesach, and they didn't change their names, and they didn't change their clothing. We could try to put together some type of case for Klal Yisrael. And then Hashem Tzidkanios, who were zochet to miracles, so that means they must have been pretty good. It was only 86 years, so how much could a Jew become so bad in 86 years? Maybe. Says the Chazon Ish, I don't think so. Kol dvar me'elo in ben mamsh. The bottom line is, the Jewish people didn't deserve to be saved. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us was exceptionally nice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It went above and beyond, way above and beyond. And therefore, a Jew thinks about the kindness of a Kaddish Baruch, as we've said many times, Pesach, Rashi translates as Chamal, which means Rachmanis. The Kaddish Baruch had Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. Hashem said, you're my children. And a parent goes ad hasof for a child, even if it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes in his Haggadah, on page 8, he says that the word Rachamim is connected to the word Rechem, which means womb. That a child who comes from a womb, it's a place of Rachmanis. The fact that a child lived inside of another person, the love that a Jewish mother, all the more so, right? Judaism is defined by our Jewish mothers. But the word rachamim and the word rechem are connected. That the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees us is coming from within him, so a Kodesh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on us all the way. But let's not pretend, says the Chazon Ish, when you sit down at the Seder, right? What a great effort we made on the Seder, in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to become worthy of salvation. We were not worthy of salvation. And a Jew has to know that. A Jew has to know that the etzem, on the surface, a Jew is not really worthy of salvation. Turn to page 2. There's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Pesachim, in the second parak. The Mishnah says, Ha'ochel trumas chametz v'shogeg, mishalim karen v'chomish. If a person eats truma, which is chametz on Pesach, by accident, so he pays, right, he has to pay the kohen, it's truma, belongs to the kohen, he has to pay the kohen, karen, the principal amount, v'chomish, and a penalty, an added fifth. B'mezid, and if he does it b'mezid, potter mitashlumim umidme eitzim. If he ate the truma on purpose, then he doesn't have to pay, right? He's not have to pay for it, doesn't have to even pay its value as dme eitzim, as fuel. Okay, a very technical Mishnah. The Gemara discusses at length on Daf Lamed Gimel, Meseches Psachim. When did it become chametz? It was truma, and then it became chametz. It was chametz before it became truma, yeah?
Sorry, it's a little topic. Isn't that considered?
No, it's a penalty. It's a penalty imposed by the Torah. It's a penalty for a person stealing from Hekdesh. It's Me'ila. It's a form of Me'ila. It's all Masechta and Shas dedicated to the topic of misuse of holy things. And the Torah puts fines upon a person who misuses something. It's not a monetary fine imposed by the Kohen. There was no loan here. He stole from the Kohen. Sometimes a person steals, he pays back double. Sometimes he pays four times, five times. Sometimes he pays a penalty. There's different categories of fines in the Torah. So this is a fine that's imposed by the Torah upon a person who misuses the Kohen's food. Now the Gemara has a whole complicated discussion. Okay, on Daf Lamed Gimel. The Sefer that we're looking at is a Sefer called Musar HaMishnah from Rav Yehuda Leib Ginsburg. He was a Rav in, you see what I wrote? See where he's from?
Denver,
Colorado. That's what it says in the opening page of the Sefer. Rav Beir, Denver, Colorado. Obviously he came over from a different world, but he settled in Denver, Colorado. He wrote an amazing work called Musar HaMishnah, where he goes through the Mishnayos and he extracts Musar lessons from there. So he writes on this very technical Mishnah about the law of Truma that became Chametz and then was eaten, B'shogeg, B'mezid. The Gemara has a discussion. All right, let's take a look inside. V'yenei Yisal Zeb B'psachim Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Amar Mar, B'med Devar Mamurim. When does this Mishnah's rule apply? B'mafrish Truma V'achmitza. When the truma was first separated and then it became chametz. Aval hifrish chametz truma. But if on Pesach you try to declare truma from something chametz, divrei hakol ain't a kedusha. If it was already a leavened dough and you tried to declare it as truma, right? So it can't, what do you mean truma? You can't make it sacred, it's aser, it's chametz. Everyone would agree in that case, if it was already chametz before you made it truma, then everyone would agree that it doesn't have kedusha. The Amar Kra Titein Lo, you should be able to give it to the Kohen, Velo La'oro. It should be something that's fit for consumption and not fit for burning. Right? It has to be something the Kohen can eat. The Kohen can't eat chametz on Pesach. So therefore, it goes against the very nature of Truma, and therefore the declaration of Truma, of chametz, would be null and void. It would not take on any Kedusha. And then the Gemara has a whole discussion, a continuation of the discussion, and just look at the end of the paragraph. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Daniel, where the Gemara says, "Bigzeiras irin pisgama uvemaimer kedishin she'elta." With regard to this whole discussion, you should just know that in the heavens they're passing on these types of matters, and it's a matter of the world beyond. V'chein morin bebei midrasha kavase, and also in my base medrash, we pasuk in this way. So what? Why? The Gemara quotes such a strange pasuk that this whole discussion about truma, maybe becoming chametz. When did it become chametz? Was it originally fit for consumption and then it became chametz? You should just know this is what they're talking about in the Olam HaEmes. This is the sugya in the Olam HaEmes. Truma becoming chametz. What's going on here? Says Rav Yehuda Leib Ginsburg, second paragraph, V'nei yesh lahavin, v'nei ma b'din hazeh amar es hakosav hazeh. What is it about this discussion, this halachic discussion, that is shaking the heavens? The mashma shehuno geyalo lamos hel yonim atcha malachim vakedoshim shebi Yisrael vachacham shebabate midrashim kul hayu asukim b'din hazeh. This is like the main sugya in Beis Din Shalmala, that the malachim in the higher world, this is the conversation. Uman ishtana ha'dina miyaser ha'alachos harabos and himself b'gemara atchu marish olamos. What is it about this law from any other law in the Gemara that it's shaking the heavens that we're quoting some esoteric pasuk and say for Daniel, about the angels getting involved with this matter, the paskening on this matter? Strange, no? So it says of Yehuda Leib Ginsburg, Vanira Lomar, three lines from the bottom. Shibadin Hazeh Yesh Eza Davar Yesodi Anogeila Kedushas Yisrael. This whole Indian of Truma becoming Chametz is not just about some dough, some wheat, some flour becoming leavened. It's the story of Klal Yisrael. Vizeo ki Am Yisrael hu b'bechinas Truma. Klal Yisrael are the Truma of the world. The Truma is the part that's taken from the mundane batch of dough and becomes sacred. Right? Of all of the regular stuff, there's a part that's set apart and made holy and given to the Kohen and eaten in a state of Kedusha with very severe penalties for the one who violates that Kedusha. He quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem, Reishis Tvuasa. Recognize this Pasuk? Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikar Reishis. Shenamar, Reishis Tvuasa. This Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which describes the Jewish people as the first of the grain, as the first of the produce, means that we're Hashem's Truma. We're the part that's set apart from the rest of the world. We're the part that has to recognize, have to remember at all times how different we are. I'll tell you a great Vart quickly. And Vahisha Amda, everyone wants to know, everyone's trying to figure out, what's the Vahisha Amda? Right? Vahisha Amda Lavosenu Velanu. They want to destroy us in every generation. Vahisha Amda. And this has protected us. It has protected us. Vahisha Amda. What's the Vahi? What's the it? Any different explanations? The Marsham. Marsham was a tremendous posek in a place called Berzhan, which is in the Ukraine. He passed away in 1911. He wrote the Sefer Das Torah and the Shalos and Chuvas of the Marsham. Very, very big posek. Mamash, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim. I think he wrote in the back, I remember reading once, he wrote in the back of his tour, his set of tour, he wrote in the back one of the volumes, you know, Hayom, brought the date, Hayom, Siyamti, I went through the tour my 101st time. I finished the entire tour 101 times. That he wrote in the back. So he was a massive posek. Very interesting thinker. A lot of interesting stories about the Marsham. Marsham was the grandfather, with the same name as Rav Shlomo Shvadron, the great Maggid from Yerushalayim. Right? The same Kohanim. So it was his grandfather. Great-grandfather? I think it's his grandfather. Makes sense. Grandfather. Anyway, so the Marsham says, what's the Vahisha Amda? He has a sefer called Tcheles Mordechai. So he says, what's the Vahisha Amda? He says, the Vahisha Amda is the cup of wine that you're holding in your hand. As you're holding a cup of wine, saying, Vahisha Amda, what protected us? This cup of wine. Because if there's one area of halacha where the Jews and Gentiles have to stay separate, it's with regard to wine. A guy who touches your wine, big problems. So Vahisha Amda, as you hold a cup of kosher wine in your hand, remind yourself that it's the separation, it's the fact that we're Truma, that we're set apart, that's protected us through all the generations. We look out the window and see ourselves as just regular human beings. We've got a serious problem for Klal Yisrael. We survive by reminding ourselves over and over again, and the world reminds us. If we don't remember on our own, the world reminds us that Jews are different. Right? Usually they say that in a negative way. Hashem says, no, you're Truma. You're set apart with the added holiness, that you're racist through us. So says the Musra Mishnah, last line, V'nei yesh makom lomar da'achshav v'zman hazeh, ein aleinu, turn the page, shum kedusha shel Truma. One could argue that nowadays we are no longer the Truma of the world. We're no longer set apart. We're no longer worthy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu labeling us as sacred, as Truma. Mibnei shekashem she'ein chal, shame Truma al chametz v'pesach. Because just as we learned in this Gemara and this Mishnah, Pesachim daf lamed gimel, that what? That if it's chametz before it became Truma, then it can't become Truma. You can't declare a loaf of bread as Truma on Pesach, right? It blocks out the Truma, because it's already Chametz. Mibnei shu davar ha'asar, says the Musar Mishnah so painfully, Kein i'efshar l'chol aleinu Hashem, Hashem hazeh. We're also not worthy of being called Truma. Mibnei shu anachnu hinu ata b'bechinas Chametz b'Pesach. We're Chametz. We're Chametz. Chametz can't become Truma. So how can you say, Klai, what do you want to say? Strong. Strong. Ki ein lecha adam she'ein bo mishum chametz. Let's be honest. Who doesn't have chametz? You remember the verse from the Avodah Yisrael that we learned? Kadosh Samagis says, when you do bedikas chametz, first you put out 10 pieces of bread to remind yourself that you put out the bread. You put out the chametz. You're responsible for your own chametz. Don't blame the world. It's your chametz. You own the chametz. V'lachein shaper ma she'amru she'zeh rak ba'achvot b'mechubar az ein din shumah. And that was the Hemshech of the Gemara that we didn't get into. Let's skip down to the next paragraph. Just So Chevra, says the Muslim Mishnah, we still have to be Hashem's Truma. There has to be a way to look at ourselves that even though, again, the world looks at us and says we're just as bad as them, is what Kluger spoke about the other day. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. We do Avodah Zarah, they do Avodah Zarah. We have Averos, they have Averos. Why are Jews different? We're Chametz and they're Chametz. So he says it has to be that if you look back at Klai Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Kisham bo Yisrael gam kein lidei chimutz. The Jewish people in Mitzrayim are also mamish about to become Chametz. But listen carefully. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim with matz in our hands? What was Hashem saying to us? Uvachol ze ba Kodesh Baruch Hu v'ga'alam v'asa shvatim ba mitzrim v'kiyem ba'am asher kosov kol ochlav yashamu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm getting you out right before you become Chametz. V'zeu gam ki v'mnei shahayalem shasa kosher. And just like we said, that if the Gemara's discussion there says that if it was Truma at first, if it had the potential to become Truma originally, then it could still become Truma. That's the Gemara's discussion. So he says, so too Klai Yisrael also had a shas ha-kosher. We also had good potential. Shrei gam heim nol du betara. Every Jew is born with the potential to be holy. Every Jew starts off as good. So therefore, along the way, it looks like we're becoming chametz. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes at the last minute, and he saves us. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with matzah to remind us we were matzah. We were a second away from becoming chametz. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us at the last minute. When we were young, when we were pure, when we were innocent, ki lo hayu b'nei Yisrael az prutzim b'arayos. We started off as truma. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us dam Pesach and dam Mila? Why dam Mila? Because dam Mila reminds a person, again, of the holiness a person has as a child, as he describes in the part that I skipped over. And therefore, Klal Yisrael have to remind ourselves, as we learn from the Chazon Ish, as unworthy as we were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still looks at us in a pleasant way. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're still the Truma of the world. And I see you differently. The angels can scream all they want, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. Right? It could look like you're become Chametz also. But Hashem says, no. You started off with a state of Kashrus, and therefore you maintain the ability to become the Truma of the world. And the Jew has to keep trying to get back to that point where Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I still believe in you. And it's still Shaykh for you to be the Truma of the world. And that gives us such chizik. Because every time you find yourself, you feel like, oh, I'm about to cross over. I'm like holding by chametz. I'm mamish holding by chametz. Remind yourself, right, that Klal Yisrael didn't get out of Mitzrayim because they were worthy. You feel like, oh, Hashem, this is, why would Hashem save me right now? Hashem would save you right now for the same reason He saved Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Why not? That's what Hashem does. He sees you as truma. I see myself as chametz. Hashem says, I see you as truma. I see you as kadosh. I don't see myself that way. Hashem says, I do see you that way. When the odds are stacked against the Jew, a Jew has to go back to Mitzrayim in his mind and remind himself that we're not based on odds. Klal Yisrael's existence never depended upon odds. Turn to page 4. Rabbi Ganak, Rabbi Menachem Ganak, Shlita, from Englewood and from the OU, from our yeshiva. Rabbi Ganak has a sefer on Chumash called Birchas Yitzchak. And he writes in Parshas Shoftim a strange thing, interesting thing. He says that the Torah describes when a Jew goes out to war, Ki teitzei lemelchama loivecha, and you see horses, and you see soldiers, and you feel completely outnumbered. Don't be afraid, says the Pasuk, Lo sira mehem, ki Hashem alokecha imach, Hashem is with you, hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Don't be nervous. Hashem is with you. Which Hashem? Who? Hashem who? Which Hashem? The Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem is with you, don't be nervous. Why when I go out to war do I have to say, don't be nervous, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim? What does that have to do with anything? What does getting out of Mitzrayim have to do with going out to war in the 1900s? In the fight for the state of Israel? In the war of independence? Why would I say, oh, you got to remember, but Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. So what? It have to do with anything. Tzarech bir, lama hisker akosav kan, is inyan hama'al chameret Mitzrayim. Why when Jews are fighting wars in the 1500s, and the 1800s, and in our times, fighting for Klal Yisrael's right to exist. Why don't I go back to what is Mitzrayim? That's very nice. Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. V'asher nira shekavanos ha-pasuk hu lehazkir asaneis. Shoshi Hashem osanu al yamsuf miyad paro. She yotzi li lachem ulirdof. Paro chased after us. And he had his whole army. And we were completely trapped. And he had the finest chariots. And the strongest horses. And the greatest soldiers. And Klal Yisrael were so afraid. And they cried out to Hashem. And they were so badly outnumbered, it was so impossible for them to survive at the Amsuf, and they survived. And therefore, when a Jew goes out to battle, Remember Hama'alchem Eretz Yisrael. It didn't make sense then, and it doesn't make sense that we should win now. But that's the story of Klai, so we win. Why do we win? Hashem wants us to win. Lashmi Anu, where it's underlined, Shalinu Liskur, B'tzeisenu L'machama, Sharei Hashem Imanu Kasher Hayim Avasenu Asfas Yamsuf. Remember that when we left Mitzrayim, it didn't make sense there either. Chazon Ish wrote back a strong letter. Don't try to convince yourself that we got out because of some worthiness. We didn't. It's not true. Kasher lo ayin nira she'efshar limaleit b'shalom in amatzav shabo. It was a situation where it seemed impossible for a Jew to survive. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea and saved us from an enemy which was much bigger and much stronger, and much more powerful than us. And therefore a Jew is constantly reminding himself, going back to Mitzrayim and saying, no matter what my situation is, I'm always able to rise above it. Why? Because why should my situation today be different than Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim didn't make sense and we made it out. I don't feel like I'm Truma, I feel like I'm Chametz. Hashem says, you're Truma. I feel like the enemy has more horses, more chariots. Remember, says the Pasuk in Shoftim. Remember in Mitzrayim, you were also completely outnumbered. And you made it through. So keep your head up, you'll make it through, you'll find a way to make it through. Now, however, all of this was really an introduction to just ask one question, and to share with you one piece of Torah that we're going to get to on page 10, which I'm really excited to share with you. What's the question that I was thinking about last night that helped me to begin to put these ideas together? It's a question that should be very obvious to us. And that is, why are we so obsessed with Mitzrayim? Why is everything we do Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? A Jew basically can't do anything. Go through the Sefer HaChinuch and just note how many mitzvos have some Sheikh Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. How many Yom Tovim have a Sheikh Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? How many mitzvos have a Sheikh? From the tefillin that I wear to the kiddush I make on a Friday night, I'm always going back Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zecher L'Yetzias. We're always obsessing over Mitzrayim. And you know what? It wasn't it was an embarrassing time. It wasn't like such a great time in the history of the Jewish people. It's a little embarrassing. So why are we so obsessed? Why is Hashem hocking us all the time? Zeichet, remember Yetzias? Okay, I got it. Fine, you saved me. Good. Thank you so much. Why do I always have to be calling back? Zeichet, Zeichet, Zeichet. I realized that this question is addressed by the Chidah. The Chidah wrote probably about 100 Svarim. Chidah was one of the great Sephardi Chachamim in the 1700s. And the Chidah writes in his Sefer Midbar Kademos. It's arranged alphabetically. In Osh Zion, under the letter Zion, Marechas Zion, topics related to the letter Zion, in number 17, he says, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yesh Lach Kor, Madua Galus Mitzrayim, V'Geulas Mitzrayim, Nisgru Kol Kach. Why are we talking about it so much? It's time to move past it. It's time to talk about other things. Always talking about what it was and how we got out. Right? So many mitzvahs. V'yesh chiyuv lezochem. There's a chiyuv every day to remember it. K'mo she'amar ha'kasev, v'zacharti ki eved ha'isa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. L'man tizkor et yom seischa eretz Yitzrayim. Always obsessing over it. Right? V'shar galios v'gu'ulason, ein chiyuv midivrei kabbalah, u'midirabanan lizchor ha'galos u'lizchor ha'gu'ula. When do we talk about Purim? On Purim. When do we talk about the salvation from the clutches of Yavon? On Hanukkah. So why all year do we talk about Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? We're always so busy with Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Torah is always so busy with it. In the writings of the Megala Mukos and Parshas Va'era, and in the writings of the Vilna Gaon, in the Adaras Eliyahu, on Parshas Balak, on page 6, they both talk about this concept that the Torah mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim 50 times. 50. There are 50 references to Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Torah. The truth is, there's even more than that. And Ramami Pano, one of the great Italian Mekubalim, tells you which 50 to count. But there's at least 50 mentions of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Torah. The Vilna Gaon writes on page 6 in the Adaras Eliyahu, by the arrow, V'chein Moshe Rabbeinu Gila B'Torah Nun Pamim Yetzias Mitzrayim. 50 times Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Connected the 50 gates of Tumah that we found ourselves almost in Mitzrayim. And he explains here that there are Nun Shari Bina, there are 50 gates of understanding, of deep wisdom, Nivra Ba'olam, V'kula Niskal L'Moshe Chaser Echad, and Moshe understood, right, the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chafalif, Moshe understood 49 levels of Bina out of 50. Moshe couldn't understand the ultimate level of what? Of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, the first words that we heard at our Sinai. In a certain sense, Moshe couldn't grasp that. The other Nevi'im only understood 48 levels, says the Vilna Gaon. Three lines from the end. Aval Nevi'im, lo nisgala rak memches, lekulam bichlalam. How many Nevi'im were there? Primary Nevi'im? There were 48 Nevi'im. Each one understood one level. Moshe was on level 49, so to speak. Level 50 is beyond. 50 escapes, 50 gates, 50 ways to get out of Mitzrayim, 50 mentions of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vilna Gaon brings a remez. Right, remez is, Rabos banos asu chayil, v'at alis al kulana. What's the pshat? Chayil is gematria 48. So all the other Nevi'im were on level 48. V'at, reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, alis al kulana. You were above all of them. You were on 49. But level 50 was out of reach. Moshe, when he passed away, Chazal say, Sfarim say, he made it to level 50. He went up from Arvos Moav to Har Nevo, where he passed away. Moav is gematria 49. Nevo is Nunvo, he made it to level 50. Okay. But why, again, why are we obsessed? We're obsessed with it. The Torah can't stop talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why are we so busy with it? And every single day of our life, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you'll say, well, really, Pesach is the night where a Jew remembers getting out of Mitzrayim. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo, Ki'ilu Yatzim Mitzrayim. The Tanya writes on page 7, in the 47th chapter of Tanya, V'inei b'chol dor v'ador v'chol yom v'yom. Chayiv Adam Liros es Atzmo, Ki'ilu Yatza Hayom Mitzrayim. Every day of your life you need to think about getting out of Mitzrayim. Why? I'm not in Mitzrayim now. I'm in New York. Why am I obsessed with Mitzrayim? Every day, and the Tani made his own version of the Gemara here. B'chol dor v'dor v'chol yom v'yom. He writes the same thing in the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Siman Tov Ayin Beis. So what's going on here? Why are we so obsessed? Why every day am I so busy trying to remember what happened in Mitzrayim? So it could be, as human beings, we have a tendency to be very forgetful. Right? We have a tendency to forget things. And sometimes even something that you were so excited about, that was so important and so big and so transformative in your life, like a half hour later, you already moved on. Forgot about it. Certainly as time goes on, you're going to forget about it. So it could be that Hashem asked us, I want you to try to maintain the freshness, the feeling that you had in Mitzrayim. I want that to stay with you forever. Ask a Jew who was actually there how transformative it was in his life or her life. They'll tell you it was the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of the world. I wasn't there for everything else in the world, but I'm sure that it's the greatest thing that ever happened in the world. To see the Nisim in Mitzrayim, ask a Jew in Mitzrayim, they'll tell you it was the greatest thing that ever happened. How are we going to make sure that that feeling remains? How are we going to be sure that as time marches forward, we're going to continue to feel the intense miracles of Mitzrayim? Bizman is there. Let's be honest. Let's be very honest. How many of us believe that it happened? We all do. But how many of us really can picture it? Imagine Dom, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arav. You can picture it. It's real. It's real. It's clear. It's crystal clear. It's strong. It's as strong as it was when it happened. Rav Chatzko Levenstein one time was found by one of his students sitting on a bench with his eyes closed like this, giggling to himself. Rav Chatzko, the Mashgiach from here. Rav Chatzko Levenstein sitting on a bench, he's just cracking up with his eyes closed. One of the Talmidim came over, you know, gave him like one of these, standing there making these funny faces. Finally, the Rebbe opened his eyes. So he says, everything okay, Rebbe? So he says, yeah, it's fine. I was just sitting on this bench, picturing myself sitting next to a Mitzri, and he was covered in Kinim. And I'm sitting here enjoying a nice sunny day in Egypt. It was clear, it was real to him. It's a couple of volumes called B'Mechitzasam, biographies of different Gedolim. In the third volume of B'Mechitzasam, I saw that it says that Rav Chatzko Levenstein was the last Jew to ever leave Mitzrayim. It said Rav Chatzko. He really left Mitzrayim. B'chol yom v'yom, chayiv adam liyos esatzo. Rav Chatzko Levenstein, mamish, could experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. One time, one of his other Talmidim, what's his name? On his name. Zach Gadol, he wrote a lot of Sfarim on the Gra. I just gave a copy of one of his Sfarim to Rabbi Balazan. His name will come to me in a second. He walked in, he found Rav, he heard Rav Chatzko, he heard him upstairs. I don't know what the basement was set up like. He heard Rav Chatzko upstairs, like marching. So So he goes upstairs and he says, he goes upstairs, he sees there's these two rows of chairs, and Rav Chaskel's going like this. He's dancing in between these two rows of chairs, marching back and forth. His eyes closed. Huge smile on his face. So he says to him, he says, Rebbe, what are you doing? He says, oh, it's just, he said, oh, I'm sorry, was I making too much noise? I was just remembering Kriyas Yam Suf. Two rows of chairs. Marching in between the two rows of chairs. So you understand when a Sefer says that the last Jew ever leave Mitzrayim was Chaskel Levinstein.
He wasn't a Chassidish.
No, he was not. Yeah, pretty wild. Okay, so there are people who are able to keep it fresh. For the average person, right? Maybe we don't really feel this way, but the truth of the matter is the reason we're so obsessed with Mitzrayim might just be that reason. Maybe we need to talk about it all the time so it stays fresh for us. Because it's very hard for us to maintain that clarity. The Piazetzner Rebbe had a nephew whose name was Rav Yisrael Shapira. He was the son of the Piazetzner Rebbe's brother. And he wrote a sefer called Binas Yisrael. This year, Rav Yisrael was killed in Treblinka. Hashem should avenge his blood. And in the Binas Yisrael, in his section on the Haggadah Shal Pesach, he writes on page 8, B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatsu mitzrayim. In every generation, we gotta remember what it was like. Why? And again, we've seen from sources every day. So many mitzvahs are zeichel yitzias mitzrayim. She'etzrichim hischazkus gedola, shelo yizyashen koach hanes. It needs a lot of chizik, so that we don't lose, so that the power, the strength of the miracles that we saw with our eyes shouldn't become what? Shouldn't become weakened. That impression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being so clear to us shouldn't dissipate. Ki teva ha'adam liyispal takeof b'shas yishavus hanes. Because let's be honest, who wouldn't be excited to see an open miracle? At the moment, we're all overjoyed. Wow, what an amazing thing. What an unbelievable thing. What an amazing experience. Va'achar kach misragil b'zeh. But as time goes on, you get used to it. You start to, become accustomed to it. Ve'enu zocher godol anes. You don't remember how big it was when it actually happened. Lefichach ba ha'azara, shebechol dor v'dor chayev adam liras es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatsim Mitzrayim. And therefore, don't just remember the nes as a thing of the past. Relive it. Make it something that happened just now, so it stays strong and it stays fresh. Shelo yisyashin atzlo kolach anes shel yisiyos Mitzrayim. If I'm just remembering something from a long time ago, so it becomes not as impressive as time goes on. If I relive it, if I can re-experience it now, then what? Then it stays strong. And my emuna stays strong. The clarity and the emuna that a Jew had from that experience stays very, very strong. So maybe that's why we're obsessed with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Maybe. Maybe that's what we're trying to hold on to make sure that the miracle doesn't fade. But again, the question's a strong question. Why so many references in the Torah, so many mitzvos, so many obligations on a daily basis, such an important thing for us to remember. Amalek, is Amalek not important to remember? How often do we remember Amalek formally? Once a year. Amalek almost destroyed everything. Once a year, it's fine, we get by. Once a year, Parsha Zachar. Once a year. Yeah?
Quick question for you. Are there any sperm that help us to tell you ways to use it or is it trying? Because it's easy to just say, oh yeah, I'm remembering it, but how many sperm actually give you?
Yes, you gotta find books that tell the story. Read the Midrashim. Try to close your eyes like Rav Chatzkel and picture yourself sitting next to an Egyptian on a bench. Picture the miracles. Re-experience Yisias Mitzrayim. I don't know. It's a hard thing.
Are there any Svarim that speak about that?
Yeah. You want to recommend one?
Haggadah,
the Torah. I'm saying there's definitely some resources. About 3,500 Haggadahs in the world, so one of those should probably have an answer. No, yeah, the Ikkar at the end of the day is to close your eyes and to try to really picture it. And to try to just make it real, to drill it into your head. That it's not a fictional tale. It's a historical reality of our people. Rav David Cohen, Shlita, is a Talmud of Rav Huttner. Very, very big posek. He's involved in passing a lot of very complicated shilas. He has a series of svarim on the Moadim called the Birchas Yaivitz. And in the second volume of the Birchas Yaivitz, he asks our question explicitly. He's excited to find this. He quotes the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer lived from 1762 to 1839. Nechsam Sofer asked, Lama sagi zechiras mechiras amalek pam bashana, vizechiras yitzhiras mitzrayim, havi b'chol yom? The question I just asked you. Why do I have to mention Mitzrayim every single day of my life, but Amalek we get by once a year? Why are we so obsessed with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he answers the following answer, where David Cohen suggests, Minira, the cave and the Yetzias Mitzrayim hi cheiros olam. Since Yetzias Mitzrayim was an eternal freedom, it's the root of all geula, k'mo shebir hagra, as the Vilna Gaon explains, shekol hageulos genuzos b'Yetzias Mitzrayim, that all redemptions are found, again, in some contracted, compacted, microcosmic way, it's found within Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the redemption from Egypt took us out of every difficulty we'd ever encounter. Therefore, imkein, mi'cheven sha'amru sha'adam sarach l'tzapos li'yeshua, so since every day a Jew needs to what? Be longing for Mashiach. So I have to remind myself that the root of Mashiach was already in Mitzrayim. And the way I'm going to survive the difficulty I'm going through was already in Mitzrayim. All Gullus was found in Mitzrayim, and all Geula was found in Mitzrayim. Uveshem Arizal, when we say, Omrim, Shemitzapim Yeshua, when we say in Shmona Esrei, Ki Lishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom, that's the moment of the day where we stop and remind ourselves that we're longing for Mashiach today. Tzivsa Torah, Shatzipia Tiyeba Muna Sheba Yedei HaAsoris, Shenig'alnu Mimitzrayim. So the way that we come to believe in Mashiach is by remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because spiritually, the geula of the future was already found there. It was a cheiros olam. All redemption is somehow hidden within that redemption. So we go back to it and try to reawaken it. And to remind ourselves that what? Shata'amnu sham kol cheshkas ha-galus. In that place, Mitzrayim, we tasted all of the suffering of galus. V'chol ha-tzaras sha'avru al-Yisrael. And everything that we would ever experience. And therefore, tzarach lizkor Yetzias Mitzrayim kol yom. Maybe Yetzias Mitzrayim, again, is just a miniature version of everything that's ever going to happen in history. So we always go back to Mitzrayim, and I always try to get out of Mitzrayim. Because that's the same technique I use to get out of my struggle wherever I am today, and to bring the geula. And that's not true. Amalek was a specific struggle, so we remember it on a yearly basis. Mitzrayim is the all-encompassing struggle and the all-encompassing redemption. And therefore we go back to Mitzrayim to try to get out of everything. We always have to go back to Mitzrayim, always reminding ourselves of Mitzrayim. Okay. But here's what I really want to share with you. Page 10, which I just found last night, is the thing that I really want to share with you. It would have been fine to just learn this piece together, but to give it a little more context, we learned everything else. This is from a sefer called Birchas Chaim, from Rav Chaim Yaakov Zuckerman. He was a Yid from Yerushalayim who passed away in 1974. And he writes a beautiful, beautiful idea. Why is Hashem bothering me? I'm sorry to say it that way, but why is Hashem bothering me all the time? Don't forget Mitzrayim. Don't forget Mitzrayim. Hashem, I got it. Why are you pestering me? It's annoying. Stop reminding me so much about Mitzrayim. I can't go through two pages of the Torah without some Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Darash Rav Shlomo David HaRabbi HaTzair Mislanim Baranovich. Rav Shlomo David, the young Rebbe from Slonim, the Slonim Yeshiva, and the Slonim Chassidim were in Baranovich, alongside Rav Chanan Wasserman in his time. Harbe mitzvos nitnu lehem liyisrael. Many, many mitzvos were given to the Jewish people. Bitur zecher liyisiyas mitzrayim. In the context of zecher liyisiyas mitzrayim. Why do I need to put everything in the context of zecher liyisiyas mitzrayim? Hainu lomar zichru ki aleichem letzeis mitzrayim. Because maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling you, just like they got out of Mitzrayim, I am not going to stop bothering you until you get out of Mitzrayim. Hashem's not trying to be annoying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hocking us with Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim all the time, because Hashem wants us to believe that just like they got out, even though it didn't really make much sense, you also can get out. Hashem says, don't be satisfied with the world as it is today. Don't forget. Stop bothering me. No, you're, Hashem says, I'm not going to stop bothering you. I want you to want Mashiach. You need to want it. Ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayom. Right? We'll get there. No. Hashem bothers us because He wants us to believe zichru ki aleichem letzeis mitzrayim. It's not just a zecher of the past. You also can get out of your Mitzrayim. Mashal l'roa b'chaveiro kilkul v'cheid. He gives a beautiful mashal. Imagine, you see your friend doing something improper. Mochicho umiyasro amaseyu pam upamayim veloyoser. You see your friend, he's a good guy, you see him doing the wrong thing. You say, why are you doing that? I don't know, probably shouldn't do it, but whatever. You see him do it a second time. And you say, that's really not right, why are you doing that? He's like, yeah, whatever, whatever. Just like, okay, I got it. So you see that he doesn't care. Right? So you may leave him alone at that point. You warned him once, you told him twice, it's not right. He's clearly not interested in listening to you. So you told him twice, ad kan. Ach im halah ahuv nafsho. But if you love your friend, if you really care about him, then you can't sleep at night knowing that what? That he's doing the wrong thing. You have to get involved. And if it means becoming annoying until he gets it, so I'll be annoying until he gets it. Harei omochichu b'chol rega, you bother him every second, ki yashuv midrachav. You got to change your ways. And he says, I'm not changing, leave me alone, stop bothering me. No, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not bothering you because I don't like you, I'm bothering you because I love you. And I know that you can actually get out of this mess. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bothering us all day, get out of Mitzrayim. Remember we left Mitzrayim. Hashem's not saying just remember what happened then. Hashem's saying they got out even though it didn't make sense. I want you to think that you can get out also. I want you to really believe Mashiach's going to come in your time. Okay, it'll come. No, I want you to really believe that. And Hashem bothers us. Remember Mitzrayim. Because Hashem loves us. Shebechol mitzvah u'mitzvah, bechol Shabbos, every chag, every moed, harei midur abanan, everything. It's always zecher l'yetzias Mitzrayim. U'mazkir l'chol echad mitanu zachor. Hashem says everything you're doing should be what? A zecher l'yetzias Mitzrayim. Yehudi, my precious Jew. Harei ata shakua adayin bezulamas Mitzrayim. You're living in Mitzrayim. If you're comfortable living in New York, not in Yerushalayim with the base of Mikdash, that means you stopped thinking a long time ago. What are you doing here? Hashem says, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm going to bother you until you get out of Mitzrayim. Al tismaya. Alecha l'seis b'sham k'chol sheyoser maher. Kum v'tzei mitoch Mitzrayim. Get out of Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'm not trying to be annoying. I see that you're doing something very stupid with your life and I'm trying to help you. So I'm going to bother you until you get it. And that's why every day and every mitzvah has this element called Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. All right, you wanted to say something? Hashem knows we're going to change them. That's the difference. Yeah, the Gemara says, Ocheach tochiach chasam yisecha, afilu mea pamim, up to 100 times, right? Well, Pasuk says, lo siso lav chet, which means don't embarrass him, you know, if he slaps you, the Gemara says, then, you know, he's not interested. Hashem knows we're interested. You know why? Because Hashem knows us better than ourselves. And that's a beautiful lead-in to page 11. I want to read one line from the Chavetz Chaim, in the Shmira Salashon, in the Shara HaZechira, in the second parak. But before I do that, I want to just remind you that the Chavetz Chaim's words are mamish gold. Not just because the Chavetz Chaim didn't speak Lashon Hara, but a big part of it has to do with that. There's even an amazing story. The Chavetz Chaim later in life, Yitzchak Zilberstein tells a story in one of the volumes of Aleinu L'Shabeach, that the Chavetz Chaim's teeth were perfect till the end of his life. He never had dentures. He never had cavities. And the Chavetz Chaim once said to someone who was inspecting him, was doing a checkup on him, and he saw how perfect his teeth were. He couldn't understand it. Chavetz Chaim said, what don't you understand? When a person uses his mouth in a proper way, so how could my mouth not be perfect physically if it's so perfect spiritually? The words of the Chavetz Chaim, you don't read a line from the Chavetz Chaim and take it lightly. His words were precise, and I want to tell a story to highlight that before we read this one line. You know, before they had the pocket halacha series, which Velva loves so much, before they had those little, you know, pocket halacha books, in the 1980s, there was a couple of volumes put out by Rabbi Aaron Levine called the Halacha Mitzvah Manual Series. Here's one volume of it. Okay, this is his volume on Bikur Cholim. And in his volume on Bikur Cholim, on page 66 and 67, he tells a story that he heard from an audio recording of Rav Shalom Shvadron, great Maggid of Yerushalayim. You gotta hear this story. And it'll help us to better understand. When the Chavetz Chaim says something to you, you take it very seriously. One afternoon, the chaplain of the Home for Incurables, Vavachevi would not have liked the title of that place. Vavachevi wouldn't even call it a hospital. Okay, this is the olden days. The Home for the Incurables in Brooklyn. The chaplain receives an urgent call from the institution's president, whose brother Herschel had been seriously hurt in a car accident and was in a coma. Their elderly father, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, should be informed, but he was afraid that the shock could kill him. So he sends this chaplain, his friend, right, to go pick up his father. Again, this guy calls him, my brother was in a terrible accident. Go pick up my father, bring him to the hospital, but make sure you tell him very slowly about what happened. I'm scared if he understands how serious this is. He's an old man, it could kill him. So he gets in the car, he goes and he picks him up. They're on the way to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, he starts saying, you know, he said, well, what happened? What's going on? So he says, you know, your son was in a car accident. But he's trying to like, so he sees, okay, he's not so concerned. As they're getting closer to the hospital, he starts to say, you know, it's a pretty serious accident. It's a very serious accident. And he sees, like, he's not nervous. He's, like, totally calm. They get to the hospital, and they see that his son is in an oxygen tent, hooked up to a number of life-saving instruments. His family's standing around him. The guy's lying there in a coma. And this Rabbi Yosef Chaim, his father, standing over his son, who looks like he could die any second, says, what does everyone want from me here? Why are we here? Your son was in a terrible accident. Come say goodbye. Say goodbye? Say goodbye to what? The Chafetz Chaim knows much better than the doctors. Get me out of here. I'm leaving. No one knew what was going on. So he says, the Chafetz Chaim knows much better than the doctors. He says, when the Chafetz Chaim was writing the Mishnah Brura, he said, I was a young balabas. And the Chafetz Chaim wanted to make sure that the Mishnah Brura was accessible not only to Talmidei Chachamim. He wrote the book so that the average balabas who knows a little bit of Hebrew could be able to learn the Mishnah Brura. So we used to give manuscripts of the Mishnah Brura to different people to read, to see, like, you know, does this read well? Is it understandable? And I was one of the readers for the Chafetz Chaim. He said, I used to read the manuscripts of the Mishnah Brura to help the Chafetz Chaim to make sure that it was accessible to the average Jew. So he said, years later, when I was leaving for America, I came to say goodbye to the Chafetz Chaim. And I said, Rebbe, can I have a bracha? You know, we worked together all these years. Can I have a bracha? I'm going to America. So Chafetz Chaim took him by the hand, and he said to him, if you promise me that you will be Shomer Shabbos in America, Chafetz Chaim warned him of all the dangers in America. He said, if you promise me that you'll continue to learn Torah and be a Shomer Shabbos Jew in America, then I promise you, you'll have a Richas Yamim. And I promise you, the Chafetz Chaim said, that none of your children will die in your lifetime. Promise you. So this guy says, the Chafetz Chaim promised me my children aren't going to die in my lifetime. My son's going to be fine. I'm 100% sure. If the Chafetz Chaim, if the Pet Kadosh of the Chafetz Chaim said that my son cannot die in my lifetime, I don't care if he's talking about an oxygen tent and all sorts of machines pumping life into his body, which is lying there in a coma. He's going to be fine. And he was fine. Chafetz Chaim gives you a bracha. Chafetz Chaim says something. It's mitzias. It becomes reality. So with that story in mind, let's read one line from the Chafetz Chaim. Because it's hard to believe, but if the Chafetz Chaim said it, it's true. That's the point I'm trying to make. Chafetz Chaim writes in Shmiras HaLashon, Da Kadosh Baruch Hu, where it's underlined, Ohev La'adam, Yoser Misha Adam Ohev Es Atzma. Hashem loves you more than you love yourself. Hashem knows you more than you know yourself. And therefore, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Zecher L'Yisias Mitzrayim, if he spends his whole day whispering that in your ear, why are you, Hashem, what do you want? Okay, I got it. I'll remember what happened to Mitzrayim. Hashem says, no, I'm bothering you because I believe in you. You could say, stop hocking me with this stuff. But I'm telling you, I love you more than you love yourself. I know you more than you know yourself. All right, and then answer to Arya's question, don't we not give tocha to a person if they're not going to listen? Hashem says, I know you're going to listen eventually. So why not listen sooner? Why not get on board with this sooner? The Jews of Mitzrayim were in a very low place. The truma of the world looked like it had become chametz. But we got out. And when we go out to war, says Rabbi Ganak, we go back to it and we chazer it over. It doesn't make sense. It defies all odds. But Hashem says, come on, you can do it, you can do it. I'm going to keep talking about it until you actually do it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Turn to the final page. What separated the Jew who got out of Mitzrayim from a Jew who did not get out of Mitzrayim? Avram Shor brings a diuk from the Satmar Rav. Satmar Rebbe said, take a look at the left side of the page, the left column, where it says Rashi in bold. Rashi in Shemos Perek Yud Pasuk Chaf Beis. Rashi brings a Maimar Chazal. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Choshech on Klal Yisrael? Why was there a mak of Choshech? Why did Hashem need to put the Mitzrim in the dark? How is it no Nogeya to Klal Yisrael? Shahayu bi Yisrael ba'osu ador rishayim. Shalohayu rotzim latzeis umesu b'shloshes yimei afeilu. We know that 4/5 of the Jews didn't make it out of Mitzrayim. Why didn't they make it out of Mitzrayim? They died during the 3 days of darkness. Why did they have to die in the dark? Says Rashi, Kidei shelo yiru Mitzrayim b'mapalasam, that the Egyptians shouldn't see their downfall. V'yomro, afheim lokin kamonu. So the Egyptians shouldn't get chizik, say, oh look, Jews are dying in the dark also. So the Jews had to be killed while the Egyptians couldn't see. What separated the Jews who died in those 3 days of darkness from the Jews who did not? Says the Satmar Rebbe, read Rashi carefully. There's one word in Rashi. What's the key word in Rashi? What's the key word? I circled it for you. Shelo hayu rotzim. Let's say. Re'isi me'arav ha-kadosh bal divrei yalo. Rabbi Yoelish from Satmir explained. Shebizeh miyusha ma'a shelecho rekosha. Halo kol klal Yisrael hayu b'mantas shari toma. Every Jew was on the... What? The Jews who got out were on the 49th level of toma. They weren't. So how did they survive? What caused the Jew not to make it and the Jew to make it? They were all in a disgustingly low place. So who were? What distinguished a really bad Jew, the 4/5 that died, from those who didn't die? The ones who got out were wicked. Dasan and Aviram got out. Bad people got out. So what separated the Jew who got out from a Jew who didn't get out? Says the Satmar Rebbe, read Rashi carefully. It's one word, rotzim. The Jews who wanted to get out, the Jews who said it doesn't make sense, but afal pichein will come along, got out. And the Jews who decided that it's hopeless, and there's no chance, and we've already become chametz, they didn't get out. Rakshirashi mevayr, shenekudas haga'ula taloi v'tzipoi l'ga'ula. Says Rav Avram Shor in the name of the Satmar Rebbe, the difference is that point of Geula is dependent upon the desire to be redeemed, to continue to believe it. And that's why Hashem is pestering us all day long. Zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. I need it to be in front of your face so that you can continue to believe that it's possible, even though it's impossible. Ve'elu shemeitzu begimel yemei afeila lo hayu rotzim laseis. And those Jews who didn't make it out were simply Jews who didn't believe anymore, who didn't think it was possible. The difference was, the Jews who believed it was possible, they made it out. The Jews who believed Hashem loves me more than I love myself, it makes sense to me that I should get out, but Hashem apparently loves me more than I love myself. Hashem knows me more than I know myself. And if Hashem keeps bothering me, he obviously thinks I'm actually going to do it at some point. All right, so let's do this. Let's make it happen. Let's actually see Mashiach with our eyes. Something that's very hard for every single one of us to believe. So Mirtz Hashem, B'zchus having that Amunah, continuing to have that Amunah, continuing to not give up on ourselves, and continuing to believe that even though it doesn't make sense to us, we weren't worthy then. That's how we started, the Chazon Ish. Don't try to make a case for Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. We weren't worthy. We were a second away from becoming chametz. But Hashem says, I still see that you're true. I still see that it's possible. I'm going to keep reminding you over and over again until you make that your reality. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us to believe that and to be zochet see the Gula with our eyes. B'meir b'amen. Amen. Shkoyach. No, so. Hi, Kivino Kalayo. Hi, Kivino Kalayo.
Hayivinu kol hayom, hayom hayom, mitzvah b'emi shuva, mitzvah b'emi shuva. Mitzvah b'mishuvah.